One of the most recognizable voices to me, I'm going to go actor too. I'm a Matthew McConaughey guy. Just that southern drawl kind of thing is always like, all right. You know, I could listen to him and I always know it's like, all right, it's going to take him 10 minutes to say five words because of that nice slow drawl, but I love it. He is one of two people, if I could pick somebody to narrate the story of my life, not that they'll ever make it, would be Matthew McConaughey. Would be one. The other one, Jim Nance, the golf announcer, Jim Nance. If you don't know, look up Jim Nance opening the Masters and that's what I want. Anyway, voices are recognizable for many different reasons. Like we talked about, the sound, the cadence, the strength that comes behind a voice. Some people have this very strong, authoritative sounding voice. And that's the part that actually brings us to today's psalm. We are in a summer series called Psalms of Summer. If you haven't been with us, we're just looking at a different psalm each week this summer. Today will be Psalm 29. It's 11 verses long. And a large section of it really talks about the strength and the power of God's voice. Now, that's not to diminish that God absolutely speaks in that still, small whisper, and that's when we think about a lot. That's totally true. But God also speaks with a big, loud, and authoritative voice, right? And it's kind of similar to sometimes how we see God in multiple ways. Sometimes we see God as like that friend and that close companion with that intimate relationship, and that's great. I refer to this as like the God I would give the bro hug to, right? Like, I'm a bro hugger, you know, so you do the move and you bring it in like this. There's that kind of God, that closeness, that tightness. But then there's that authoritative ruler God that's in control. Now, they're both accurate. They're both super important. But I think sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the second one, of the powerful and authoritative God, because it puts us in a place of submission, of reverence. In a sense, it can be overwhelming to think of somebody that's that authoritative, in that kind of control. But today I want to challenge you with this. Be overwhelmed by who God is. That's our main idea today. Be overwhelmed by who God is. Let God's authoritativeness, his control, his presence overwhelm you with how incredible it is. And in this psalm, we're going to see three ways to help us do that, to help us be overwhelmed by God. So we're going to read the whole psalm, just 11 verses, and then we're going to break it down and figure out how can we be overwhelmed by who God is. So the verses will be right up here behind me if you want to look there. Also in the Bibles on your tables, if you are using any sort of tablet or phone, that is awesome too. I will be in the NIV translation as every week. So Psalm 29, 1 through 11, it says this, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." That is Psalm 29. The first part we're going to look at is the first two verses, kind of the whole part that says, "Ascribe to the Lord." This I see as being, give God his due. Give God the recognition and the credit he is due for who he is. That's the first part to help us be overwhelmed. It says ascribe, which literally means give to God. Give to God everything that he is due. Worship him with love, with awe, with reverence, with wonder. All right, worship meaning bow down before God. And this ties in all the angels and the people of earth. It says heavenly beings. So we have the people of earth. We have the angels because God is ruler and king over all of that. So every created being needs to give God his due. Acknowledge God's worth in our lives. Worship him for that. Again, meaning to bow down. Think about what bowing actually means. Who here has seen the Wayne's World movies? Right? We're not worthy. We're not, right? That's what it is. And I know it's ridiculous in that movie, but it's that whole, it's down before them like, we're not worthy of this. That's what the idea is in worship to God. This reverence, this bowing down. I don't know how many of you actually get on your knees when you pray or anything or in worship, but I would encourage you to give it a try and just take that physical posture of reverence towards God. And then it says, the splendor, worship in the splendor of his holiness. This would be like the visual splendor of his holiness. So think of him being clothed in attire befitting of his stature, right? So if you think about a king maybe from back in the day that's all robed up, crown, scepter, everything, and you see that look, and that's what they, it just fits who they are. It's this idea with God. Imagine him clothed in all that splendor. And this appearance causes all to recognize his status. Other gods that may have been created, all the people, everybody sees this look and recognizes his glory, his strength, causing all to bow down in worship and give him his due. How do we give people their due today? Now, I was kind of thinking about this one. The one that popped up is really like these award shows that are out there, okay? The Oscars, the Grammys, Emmys, all of them, right? And the point is what they do at these is they recognize who's the best in a certain category. So the Oscars, who has the best film? Who is the best actor for a film that year? It's the best actress, the best soundtrack, all this. And what they do is they get together and they bring them up on stage and they give some speech after they've won and they recognize that they're the best. So like next year when Top Gun Maverick wins best film, Tom Cruise, yes, I'm getting some love on that. Yeah, great movie. If you haven't seen it, please do. Oh my gosh. Okay, I won't keep going, but please see it. But then, you know, whoever's a part of that movie will get up there and they're giving them their due for having the best film. Or when my guy Matthew McConaughey wins best actor and gets up there and gives an insanely long speech, that's giving him his due. But then think about the visual part. How many of you have ever seen posts after the Oscars or the award show with all the crazy outfits people wear, right? They always do this, but they dress in a way to bring that attention also to themselves. Now you see some gorgeous looking dresses and suits dressed to the nines, and then you see someone that's like, I don't understand this. Well, that's what I feel like with most of them. Or you got guys that maybe dress like this or anything, but they dress in a way. It's that visual look for who they are. So they give them their recognition, bring them on stage, giving them their trophy, and they kind of dress in that way. It's giving them their due. So how can we give God his due? Tell him. First off, let's tell him that. That's what they do in the Oscars, right? They bring the people up and tell them, hey, you won. So tell God. And this is more than just saying, God, thanks for providing for my needs, which is super important. Please do that. But more than that, tell him how much his strength, his glory, and his majesty mean. Consider actually, like I said, getting on your knees and showing that amount of reverence or submission. If you know the story in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus is talking to Peter, they've just been fishing and they've caught nothing in this section. And then Jesus is like, go out and cast your nets there again. And Peter's like, we've been out there, man. Like, there's no fish. But since you say it, we'll do it. And they bring in a massive haul of fish to the point where the nets are breaking and they need more help. Peter's response isn't to bring him in for a bro hug and say, thanks, Jesus. It's he bows down and claims he's not worthy of that. Second one is obedience. Follow what God has for you. Act out God's due. Because if God is in that kind of control, he wants us to follow his teaching. He wants us to follow the will for his life. What could be a better way of showing his due than listening and obeying what he has for you? He's ruler and creator, so follow him. Be obedient. That's a way to respect and accept his authority. And then the third one, tell somebody else about it. Share how impactful God's rule is in your life. Think about having something awesome happen in your life and then telling somebody the credit is due elsewhere. How much love does that give to that other person? Give God that kind of credit. Give it to God when you talk to other people, Christians and non-Christians. Share it with other Christians. Share it with non-Christians, but tell somebody else. So we give God his due. That's the first part to allowing ourselves to be overwhelmed by him. Second part, we're going to look at verses 3 through 9. This is kind of the big bulky section. So let's read verses 3 through 9 again. And this is full. If you are somebody that likes imagery and things like that, I think this is a great section. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and all in his temple cry glory. This is recognizing God's voice. That's our second part, recognizing God's voice. And there is a ton of imagery in this section. It is basically, think of it as a moving storm, because you hear it kind of from the water, and it starts to move inland and keeps going through the desert. But the storm here relates to the voice of the Lord. That phrase, voice of the Lord, is used seven times just in those few verses. So his voice is like a powerful storm. And it starts over the waters. Most likely, David is writing here, this is the Mediterranean Sea, which would have been just known as the sea. Huge sea back in this day, used for a ton of stuff. We hear about it a lot in the Bible. We're most likely talking about God thundering over the big Mediterranean Sea. Now, he thunders, not just speaks and talks, but he thunders this big boom of thunder over the sea. And that starts to move inland. And it says it breaks the cedars of Lebanon. So these cedars were very well-known trees in this day. Everybody would have recognized what these were. Stood roughly 120 feet high, 40 feet wide. When I was seeing this, I instantly went to like the redwoods. If you've ever driven through the redwood forest in California, just these massive, giant trees. But the cedars of Lebanon, they were firmly rooted. They didn't decay easily. Some said they were actually insect repellent, which is super cool. And they were used in royal palaces. So like David and King Solomon would go get the wood from these trees to use in their palaces. People traveled to get these trees. This is some really good wood, all right? This is a big, strong tree. Now imagine the power of God's voice snapping it like a twig. To be able to break those majestic trees with his voice, that is the power of God's voice. And it says, Lebanon leaps like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. Syrian would be another name for Mount Hermon, which would be one of the mountaintops that was very visible from where David would have been. So imagine young, energetic livestock just like jumping and making noise. Ryan, Dave, and I were at the Ford Madison game last night, and they bring one of the cows. Naturally, we have a cow as a mascot. We actually have two for our team. But Leonella Bessie's there. She makes noise. Now imagine if this big cow starts jumping up and down, and what will happen, how it will shake and be loud. God's voice makes these places rumble like that. It's that kind of strength, like they could just jump up and land. And then it strikes like a flash of lightning. Think about being taken back when you first see, if you're sitting in your room and it's dark and a storm's coming and the lightning just hits the window, you kind of do this move and look. That's God's voice, like the lightning, that explosion of lightning. It's like, whoa, you're kind of taken back. Feels like it comes out of nowhere. That's the strength, again, of his voice. And finally, the storm from the sea to inland moves to the desert of Kadesh. People would have spent time on their journey with Moses through this desert. And it says it shakes the desert. If you've seen TV shows, movies, pictures, I picture a big sandstorm. And you just see this mass of sand. And that would be God shaking the desert. That's what I would see. Just whips up this massive sandstorm. And then, not to be outdone, if there's any trees that are actually left there, they're turned and they're just snapped and bent and stripped bare. So he's done all this. The storm has come in from the sea, inland, through the desert, and finally, it elicits a response from everybody that's just like, okay, we see you, we hear you, we get it, you're there. And all cry glory. That's the power of the storm of God. And that storm is in reference to the power of his voice. So when we talked about voices earlier today, I was thinking, who's got this powerful voice? I remember when the singer Adele first came on the scene. And a lot of people said she could sing and fill an arena without a microphone or a speaker. She's got this big, booming voice. Then I thought of another voice that was very loud. It's actually my dad. Now, any of you that have met my dad, you're like, how? Your dad's like the quietest guy I've ever met. True statement, except when we were playing sports. And my brother is here to corroborate this. He and my buddy's dad, who we called Big Mike, so we had my dad and we had Big Mike, could fill a soccer stadium yelling at either us or a ref, like it was nothing. We're down there, down here playing. They're up in the stadium, and it's like, I can hear, it's like, let's go, Jeff. I'm like, man, like, chill out, I'm going. Like, my dad's voice was loud. The funny ones when he yelled at the refs for us, that was always a good time. But it was just this loud, powerful voice, and you recognized it from my dad and from my buddy's dad, Big Mike. It was just loud and powerful. It's like, there it is, right? It came through down. Even if we were yelling at each other and our teammates on the field, we could still hear that voice from the stands. It's that loud, powerful voice. So how can we recognize the power of God's voice in our lives? We have to be aware of what's going on around us. All right? I think this is looking for the whoa moments in life. The moments where it's like, I cannot explain what happened there or how it happened. It's so incredible. It can only be because of God. Because of the power of God speaking to somebody or acting out and doing his thing. God led these things to happen, even if we're not audibly hearing a big booming voice, but the voice is strong enough to make the unthinkable, the unimaginable happen. So we have giving God his due, recognizing the strength of his voice as two ways to just start to be overwhelmed by God. We have one more. Let's look at the last two verses of this psalm, verses 10 and 11. It says this, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." I think this is recognizing God's authority, God's kingship, God's control. So really recognizing God's authority. It says, God is enthroned over all. So basically, we look at this storm that we just saw in the previous verses. God's enthroned over all that. He can control it. So while the earth is shaken and beat up, God is not. All right, it says he's enthroned over the flood. The wording used for the flood here is the exact same wording used in the Genesis account of the flood and Noah. So if you know that story of God flooding the earth in Genesis, it was God's judgment over people that had disobeyed and sinned. So it shows God is enthroned over judgment. That's the kind of authority. So he's more than just a massive loud voice. There's some authority behind it because he sits enthroned over that flood, over that type of judgment. He can hold creation together with this because he wiped things out, but still kept it together with Noah and the animals in the family, the people in the earth. So that's the kind of authority and control God has. But it doesn't end there. And this is probably my favorite part here at the end, is that this is a king, a ruler, and a figure that gives back to his people. Because it says he gives strength and peace. He gives us strength, the ability to lean on him and get through the things that seem like they're too much, the heavy burdens and the struggles and the trials. On our own, we can't do it sometimes, but God gives us his strength and his presence to get through. And then he gives us peace. And peace being more than just the quiet we think about, but peace being calm through that whole storm that is ripping everything up. He gives us peace, the knowledge we're not alone. We're protected, we're not forgotten. So we recognize all that comes with God's kingship, God's authority, and really God's control. I was trying to think, control is a tough one sometimes to think about, either having somebody that's got control over your life or being in control. So I was trying to think of one, and thankfully this week, my kids gave me a nice one. It's nice when the kids help out. For those of you that know, I do most of the cooking in the Woodhouse, and by most, I mean 99? Yeah. Okay, 99%. The kitchen is like my domain, right? I want control over my kitchen. But my kids have been coming in to help. Joella and Jeremiah are both like, Dad, we want to help. And it's been really fun. Huge proud dad moment this week. Joella, my 2.5-year-old daughter, almost 3, made her first barbecue sauce with my help and put it on the chicken on the grill. Huge moment for me. All right, this was great. But she didn't do it by herself. Why? She doesn't know how. So I'm there helping control the situation, telling her, okay, put this much in here. Okay, now which one? This one. And now I mix? No, you got to put something else in before you mix it. And then we put that in and mix it up. So there's control over what's happening. And that is one time, thankfully, where my kids kind of realize, Dad does have some control in here. Now, when we're in the living room playing with the toys, they would assume Mom and Dad have no control or anything. But in the kitchen, they actually realized that I know what I'm talking about. Great. That I have a little bit of authority or control in there. So how do we do this with God? How do we recognize God's kingship? Well, I think it actually comes back to that last verse about strength and peace. And it's accepting that we need that. Not just, hey, God's like, here, come and grab these if you want them. But that we actually really need them. We need his strength. We need his peace. We need God's help. We can fight battles on our own all we want. But if you're like me, you all of a sudden feel like, I've been fighting this and battling it, and I keep just coming up short. I need some strength outside of myself. Now, that's hard for me because I like to be the strength, to be the muscle. Stacy will be working on something at home, some sort of project. Again, she does all the tools and the cool projects at home. And she'll all of a sudden come to me and be like, hey, I need your muscle. And I go, all right. You know, chest puffs out a little bit. Maybe roll up the sleeve. Yeah, all right, I'm coming to be the muscle. And I like it. We need God to be the muscle in our lives. Because no matter how many bench presses or deadlifts or anything else I do, God will be stronger. We need God to be the muscle in our lives. But on the flip side, we need God to be our peace. All right, again, this is more than just having it be quiet in the living room. This is the comfort when everything around us feels like it's going nuts. This is like the baby blanket. If we go from the other side, from the muscle, this is, you know, you've had that baby blanket, that thing that just comforts the little kid or the baby that's like, okay, I feel safe with this. I feel good with this. That's the missing peace that gives peace and comfort. And Jesus mentions this peace in John 14:27 when he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. This is a different kind of peace than we can get anywhere else. And God offers it. And we need to accept it. Accept that we need it and then take it. So we recognize God's kingship and authority by accepting that we need these things that he gives, his strength and his peace. So when we put it all together, right, we're giving God his due. We're recognizing this voice and recognizing that we need him. For me, that sometimes can feel a little overwhelming to need that. But that's a good thing. We want to be overwhelmed by all that God is to us. So this week, I would encourage you to give God his due. Give him all his glory. Tell someone else about it. Maybe actually get on your knees and let him know you recognize who he is in your life. And look for the presence of his voice. Where did the unthinkable, the unimaginable, the thing you're just like, I don't get it, but that's awesome, happen? It can only be explained by God's presence and his voice. And then recognize God's kingship and authority. Accept that you need him, that you need his strength, and you need his peace. And this can happen in a variety of areas of your life. Probably be different for each and every one of you. But accept that you need it and take advantage of it. And then put all of these together and be overwhelmed by God's power, God's authority, God's control, and God's majesty. Be overwhelmed by all that God is. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the psalm. God, for these words, just this cool imagery of who you are in our lives. God, that you have this type of power and this control in our lives, God. And we thank you that you give us strength and peace. And God, I pray that each one of us this week would recognize that we need your strength, we need your peace. And that, God, we would give you your due, as it says. We would ascribe to you all the glory that you're due. And that we would pay attention to where your voice is in our lives, God. I pray that we would look to you and look to you first for strength, for peace, for power, and for authority. And God, I pray that we would allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the incredible presence that you are in our lives. Pray this in your name.